Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and I'm so glad you're here for our travel article of the month. It's March 5th, and we're going to be reading a special article, a place that maybe you've been to, or maybe you've heard about and been wanting to go. And we'll find out some more information about it today. Now, with me in the studio, I have Lois to my right. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Liz. Good to be here. Good to be with our students.
And also with me to my left is Campbell.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to read this article and to learn more about Madrid.
Cool. All right. So Lois and Campbell, have either of you been to Madrid before?
I wish. I have not. I've had some family members go and have loved this area of Spain.
Cool. That's nice. What about you, Campbell?
I've actually only been to Europe once, and that was to go to England. So I've never been to Madrid, although I would love to go someday.
Okay, cool. Well, for myself, I've never been to Madrid either, and it certainly does sound like a fascinating place. Now, friends, if you have a copy of this month's magazine with you, we're on page 14. Now, at the top, we have a map of Spain. And you can see that Madrid is right smack in the middle of the country. And Spain, for the most part, without getting into like details and nitty-gritty stuff, we have Portugal to the west and France kind of towards the northeast side. And the climate, well, we're going to find out. It's not a cold place. So, okay. Now, the title of today's article is, what is it, Campbell?
Mad About Madrid. Wait, is the writer angry?
Good question. Mad about. Lois, what does mad about mean?
Mad about Madrid? Well, we could also say crazy about Madrid.
Good.
It means that it is your focus and possibly all you talk about right now because either you're going there or have just been there.
Cool. Normally, when we say we're mad, that feeling, it's that anger because you are so not happy about something. But in this case, this is a good thing. It's a positive thing. We can say you're obsessed, even.
Or enthralled is a good word,
too. Oh,
that's
a very fancy word. Enthralled, yes. So I think in this case, the writer is just playing around with the letter M, because obviously the focus is on Madrid. Mm-hmm. So he's mad about Madrid. But what's so interesting about this trip is we see that it's a 24-hour guide. So in other words, this is a very quick trip.
Mm-hmm. So 24 hours just indicates that he spent one full day there in Madrid. So not a whole lot of time, but he did a lot.
Right. And I know for a lot of people who are very experienced when it comes to traveling, and there might be layovers, that means you need to change planes at certain airports. Depending on which airport you find yourself in, you may want to give yourself enough time to just do a quick look around. And I guess in this case, this is what the writer did.
Right. And with only 24 hours, let's hope he had more time for fiestas instead of siestas.
Fiestas and siestas. These words are actually of Spanish origin here. Now, fiesta, Campbell.
Well, we see the definition for these two words on page 15 up there in the top corner. Actually, we'll be talking about a lot of Spanish words over these next few days, and all of them are defined over here in this special sidebar. Okay, so we see the first one is fiesta, and a fiesta is a public celebration in Spain or Latin America. Basically, it's a party.
Yes, and we think of not just the ordinary little party. Usually when we say fiesta, it sounds more exotic because obviously the word is not English. And so we think that it's a party with a different kind of twist to it.
Right. In English, we would use the word festival. So, and I notice here, because we often think of this, these fiestas have a religious holiday. That's interesting because you sometimes don't think of that for a festival or a fiesta maybe in Europe.
True. And rhyming, okay, fiesta, we have siesta.
Yes.
Clever, I must say. Mm-hmm. And what is a siesta, Campbell?
Well, a siesta is a rest or a nap taken after lunch, especially in hot countries. So basically, it's an afternoon nap.
Right.
I could use an afternoon nap right now.
Yeah.
Siesta.
Well, notice this is something that happens in hot countries, and we know that in the afternoon in certain parts of the world, the heat is unbearable. It's impossible to be out in the sun working. And so it just makes sense for people to be resting. And it's such a part of the culture. It's not just a personal decision, but like pretty much everybody in society would do it because that just seems like the smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so this is not just an ordinary little nap, a little cat nap.
Right. I remember here in Asia where we live, it used to be part of the culture here for people to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was younger and visiting here, I was playing the piano in the afternoon one day, and my aunt was like, oh, you can't do that right now because people are napping.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really strange because I grew up in America, you know, but I feel like now it's not so much a part of the culture anymore.
True, true. Now that we have air conditioners and mm-hmm. fans more readily available, not everywhere though, people find that there are more opportunities to be working in the afternoon more comfortably. Okay, well, so we're going to be reading about what you might be able to do in 24 hours if you're in Madrid, and we're going to be following the writer. Now, he wrote this for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in 2014. And we're going to be following along, and this will be broken up into 3 days. So for day one, let's find a little bit more with the background information. We're on page 14. Please follow along in the first column.
Mad About Madrid, a 24-hour guide to Spain's capital in a land of fiestas and siestas. The clink of a café con leche against a china saucer, the clatter of horse hooves on cobblestones, the laughter of tartan-clad children sent to retrieve a baguette from the ambulant baker. These are the telltale sounds of Madrid rising to greet another blazing Spanish day. Travelers seeking to fit as many destinations as possible into a 2-week Euro trip often trade the Spanish capital for the Art Deco streets of Barcelona or the Moorish provinces of the Costa del Sol. Yet to deny Madrid is to deny the unique feel of Castilian Spain, palpable in the ancient stone blocks of its palaces, cathedrals, and monuments that defy the march of modernity. As I stand on the edge of the Plaza Mayor, the improbable sight of gypsies selling rosemary sprigs against a backdrop of colorful neoclassical architecture tells me that Madrid, against all odds, abides. I step into the bustle, determined to make the most of my short 24 hours in the capital.
Okay, thank you, Brandon, with the reading. We begin with some background information, not the background information of Madrid and its history, but more of what the writer is doing here. And we have quite a description in the first paragraph. Now, according to the writer, what are the telltale sounds of Madrid, Campbell?
Well, he starts off the article with the clink of a café con leche against a china saucer, the clatter of horse hooves on cobblestones, the laughter of tartan-clad children sent to retrieve a baguette. These are very descriptive phrases.
Extremely.
I can almost hear what he's hearing as he's writing. So, café con... I feel like we're taking a Spanish lesson right now.
Yes.
Café con leche. Café is just coffee.
Coffee,
okay,
yes.
That's a familiar word. I'm sure everybody's
mm-hmm.
seen that. Now, con just means with.
Correct.
And leche means milk.
Correct.
So, this is simply coffee with milk.
Yes. So, it's not black coffee.
No.
You got
no.
milk added to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the clink.
Right.
Okay, what's a clink?
Clink is a sound.
Mm-hmm.
So we might think clink of glasses. Mm-hmm. I always think of clink of glasses on a train. If the train's going at quite a clip
mm-hmm.
and the glasses hit each other, they're often clinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have an interesting thing here. We have the clatter of horse hooves. So the mm-hmm. noise they're making this kind of noise, because they're on cobblestones. Not everybody might know what cobblestones are. It's not pavement, and it is not asphalt. Mm-hmm. It is individual, almost looks like bricks that are put down, mm-hmm. and people used to have this over dirt or mm-hmm. sand, and that's what they walked on or drove their horses on.
Right. So this is something rougher than tile. And the nice thing about cobblestones is you're not going to get your feet muddy on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make it kind of tricky to walk on. In
you
some
cannot
places.
Wear spikes. That's for sure, ladies. No spike heels.
No. A lot of these European cities, you will find cobblestones. It's almost like a standard part of your walking experience in mm-hmm. Europe. But yeah, when you have horses going over cobblestones, because they've got that horseshoe on, mm-hmm. and that is striking against the cobblestone, you have that clatter, clatter sound.
Yeah, the...
Exactly.
Very good, Campbell.
Excellent, Campbell. So we have, on one hand, the clink, you know, when you have your coffee cup on the china saucer, that very fine, delicate little plate, okay, with which the cup sits on. Then you have the clatter of horse hoofs on cobblestones. And then we have one more thing, the laughter of tartan-clad children. Okay, let's break it down a little bit. Okay, we all know laughter.
Yes.
So the ha-ha-ha sounds that we hear
mm-hmm.
from children, but they're described as tartan-clad.
Mm. Okay, first let's look at the word clad. Mm-hmm. When someone is clad in something, that means that they're wearing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about tartan, we're talking about a pattern of cloth. It's kind of like plaid almost.
Yeah, it's a weave. And it was surprising to me that they had this in Spain. I was thinking we'd all of a sudden jump to Scotland.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah, it often reminds me of, you know, I don't know, like Catholic school or school uniforms.
Right.
You know, they often have this tartan pattern on the school uniforms. And so these children are wearing these tartan patterned clothing
mm-hmm.
and they're running and laughing as they're sent to retrieve a baguette from the ambulant baker.
Okay. Sounds like a group of kids in school uniforms and they're running after the baker, who's described as ambulant. And what's ambulant?
Ambulant means referring to walking or moving around.
Okay, so there's this baker who's going around.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
The kids are after the baker to get a baguette.
Mm-hmm.
And baguette, Campbell?
It's just a long piece of bread.
Okay, and we often think of it as part of a French
right.
culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That long, white, skinny bread.
That's right.
Okay.
I guess they've got the influence with France bordering Spain.
Probably, mm-hmm. yes. And all these are the telltale sounds of Madrid rising to greet another blazing Spanish day. Telltale?
Yeah, good word. It means allowing a secret to become known. So you're sharing it. It really isn't being hidden from anyone.
Right. When something becomes very obvious, it's telltale.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I think of the phrase telltale sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually when you see something and it gives you a clue, it tells you, it indicates something. We describe that as a telltale sign. But in this case, telltale sounds of Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of day is it?
Another blazing Spanish day. So blazing, again, just the idea of being really, really hot.
Yeah, on fire almost.
Mm-hmm.
You might feel like you're on fire.
Okay, now the writer goes on to explain a little something here in the next paragraph. Travelers seeking to fit as many destinations as possible into a two-week Euro trip often trade the Spanish capital for the Art Deco streets of Barcelona or the Moorish provinces of the Costa del Sol.
Mm.
Now, basically, he's saying that for a lot of people making a two-week trip through Europe, they will find themselves in Spain, but they can't see everything. They can't go everywhere. So they have to make a decision. And oftentimes, Barcelona or the Moorish provinces, they get more hits.
Mm-hmm.
While Madrid, for some reason, is not as popular. Okay, now Barcelona, famous, really artsy city, and that's why we see this phrase Art Deco streets. And what's Art Deco?
Well, it's a style of decoration that was especially popular in the 1930s and uses simple shapes and lines and strong colors.
Okay.
Yeah, you often see it in tile work still today. If you are kind of into pottery or tile work, you will do some of it. And you also see it in stained glass windows.
Okay. So even though a lot of people would choose Barcelona or the Moorish provinces, they would go elsewhere and not really go through Madrid or check out Madrid. But what does the writer say about that?
It says, yet to deny Madrid is to deny the unique feel of Castilian Spain. So to avoid going to Madrid or to not visit Madrid would be to kind of reject a lot of its culture and how special it is.
Okay, and then Castilian?
Yes, it's in our specialized terms, and it means the Spanish language as spoken in the Castile region of Spain, recognized as a standard form of Spanish, which was news to me, and I think maybe news to you too as well.
Mm-hmm. It's distinctive form of Spanish, and that's what makes the area special too when you visit, because you're going to hear different ways of pronouncing certain words.
Right.
Now, we go on to see another word here, palpable.
Right. When something is palpable, it means that it's so obvious that it can easily be seen or known or felt. You can almost feel it.
Okay. And what is the writer saying, being palpable?
It says we feel this culture, the unique feel of Madrid, which is palpable in the ancient stone blocks of its palaces, cathedrals, and monuments.
Right. And all this defies the march of modernity. So on one hand, the country, you know, like everywhere, like many other places, it's got its modern developments. You have new stuff coming out. But at the same time, you have the palaces, the cathedrals, and other famous ancient old places in contrast.
Right. So you've got these buildings that are hundreds and decades years old. So they're not being removed or destroyed as new things come in. They're kind of standing there.
And probably the benefit of for these buildings is that this is in the center of Spain, Madrid. So these buildings aren't being eroded or ruined by salt air because it's not on the coast.
Right.
Like many of their other cities and towns are. But because it's not on the coast, it is a very hot city. Hot in temperature.
Right. And we'll find out how hot it is on that particular day. Okay, so the writer begins at a place called Plaza Mayor. And what does he see there?
It's the improbable sight of gypsies selling rosemary sprigs against a backdrop of colorful neoclassical architecture. Tells me that Madrid, against all odds, abides.
Okay, so what a contrast. On one hand, you have gypsies and they're selling rosemary sprigs, and rosemary sprigs, just small little bunches of rosemary, the herb. Okay, and then you have in the background or the backdrop these colorful neoclassical architecture. And what's neoclassical?
Well, neoclassical is a style, another style of architecture, and it's made in the style to look like the buildings of Greece, ancient Greece and Rome.
Okay, so you have all this going on, but against all odds, Madrid abides. Now, what does abide mean?
It exists.
Yeah.
It continues on.
Yeah.
Right. And then the writer steps into the bustle, or all that busy stuff going on around him, and he's determined to make the most of his short 24 hours in the capital. And we'll find out where he goes in the next reading, starting at the square.
Start at the square. The emblematic main square, one of the largest in Europe, plays host to daily fiestas, markets, religious ceremonies, and other performances, attracting locals and tourists alike. Today is no different as street artists prepare to sell caricatures of Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy and musicians brandish their tambourines. I grab a complimentary city map at the tourist center before slipping through an archway onto the Calle Mayor. Like most streets in Madrid, the narrow confines of Calle Mayor are packed with peddlers of tweed berets, wooden canes, and brightly painted hand fans. Vendors pushing overflowing food carts yell their fares across the crowd, Horchata for 1 euro. Coconut slices for 2. The prices change even as I step out of the alley into the Puerta del Sol.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and I'm here in the studio with Lois and Campbell. We're going over our travel article for the month. Our focus is on the city of Madrid, and it's a 24-hour guide to Spain's capital. And I want to thank Brandon for the reading. We just finished the section on page 14, second column. Plaza Mayor. It's described as the emblematic main square. What does emblematic mean, Campbell?
Well, when something is emblematic, it means it represents a particular person, group, or idea. So we see the word emblem in there. When there's an emblem, this is a sign of something.
Okay. And this place is one of the largest in Europe. And what can we see there, Lois?
It says it plays host to daily fiestas, markets, religious ceremonies, and other performances attracting locals and tourists alike. And this isn't unlike most of Europe. Most significant cities in Europe have a square, and they're fascinating. And there are a few cities in North America that are starting to develop that idea, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. What I find fascinating is it's a place that attracts locals and tourists alike. That means you have visitors and locals interested in coming to this place.
Sure.
So it's not like, oh, this is just for tourists only, or this is only for locals.
Right.
But this is quite the place because everybody seems to find something that they like there.
Sure. I mean, fiestas, markets, religious ceremonies. There's a lot to see and do and buy and taste and experience.
Right. And it's a great meeting place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What I find interesting, too, is sometimes when you go to a special location, something atypical happens that day. Something abnormal happens that day. So you don't get to see what is considered normal. But in his situation, the writer's situation, he describes today is no different. So he got to see this place on a just a typical day. You know, this is what normally happens there. Mm-hmm. And what does he see street artists do, Campbell?
Well, he sees street artists preparing to sell caricatures of Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy and musicians brandishing their tambourines.
Okay. All right. You got some big words there. Explain.
All right. So caricature is just a picture that is drawn. It's like a cartoon of the Prime Minister, who is the leader of Spain. And we also see musicians brandishing their tambourines. When you say someone is brandishing something, they're waving something in the air in a threatening or exciting way. So someone might brandish a sword.
Correct. I normally think of brandishing being paired up with the word sword. But
yes.
I guess with a musical instrument, if you have that much energy and that much excitement going on that you want to really shake it in the air, I guess you would use the word brandishing. And tambourines is that drum-like instrument.
Well, it's
a percussion instrument.
Yes.
And it is very much part of the culture. Now, the writer goes on to grab something. What does he grab?
Yes, he says, I grab a complimentary city map at the tourist center before slipping through an archway. This is very common in big cities to get a complimentary map. And when we say complimentary, we mean referring to something that is given to you without charge. It's free, so we all like to grab one of those.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea, because it gets you around the city.
Correct. Okay, and so he heads on to the Calle Mayor. Now, moving on to the next paragraph. Like most streets in Madrid, the narrow confines of Calle Mayor are packed with what, Campbell?
They're packed with peddlers of tweed berets, wooden canes, and brightly painted hand fans. Peddlers are just salespeople. These are people that sell things. Okay, so they're selling tweed hats. Berets are French hats, canes, and fans.
Right. And these are things maybe tourists might be interested in, and probably not very expensive either.
Right. Little souvenirs you can bring home.
That's right.
And then we also have vendors, and what are they pushing?
They're pushing overflowing food carts. I'm going to be there then. Mm-hmm. Yell their fares across the crowd.
Okay. So food carts. That's a great way to experience the culture. Check out the food carts. And they're selling horchata for €1 and coconut slices for €2. And exchange rate is about €1 to $1.25 US, I think, roughly. Mm-hmm. So that's not too bad,
no,
price-wise.
No, that's very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then horchata.
Oh. Great drink.
Yes, a cold sweet drink. It's made with sugar, water, and ground spices. Milk is sometimes added. Kind of like a very humble smoothie or shake, if you want to
They're very tasty.
Yes. And yet, with the prices like that, it's not set because we see the prices change even as he steps out of the alley into the next place, Puerta del Sol. Okay. So already so much is going on just trying to get from Plaza Mayor to Puerta del Sol. He's already seen so much and the day has just only started. So how does it feel so far to be reading so much information, so much description?
And so much Spanish.
I feel like I'm almost there.
Yes.
And I'm learning Spanish while I'm reading.
I really appreciate our sidebar, Liz, with the Spanish words and phrases. It really helps me and helps me enjoy the article more. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's kind of fun to find out what the names of places actually mean when they're translated into English.
I find that
very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But they sound a lot better in Spanish to me for some reason. Maybe I just think of this language as being very romantic.
Well, it maybe, yeah, maybe some of you listeners might find all this fascinating too. We do hope you'll join us again for day two. We're going to find out more of what the writer is up to. He's moving on to this next place, and so far it's still in the morning and he still has a couple more hours. Please join us again tomorrow. Until then, my name is Liz.
Lois
Campbell
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.